week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Reds of Liverpool, who are celebrating their first English Premier League title since 1990. Samson O'Malley has more details for us.
Liverpool have been crowned champions of England for the first time in 30 years after Manchester City lost 2-1 at Chelsea, meaning the Reds' 23-point lead at the top of the table is now unassailable. Liverpool's 4-0 triumph over Crystal Palace on Tuesday night meant only a Manchester City victory could prolong their 30-year wait for the title, but goals from Christian Pulisic of the United States and Willian meant City's title defense officially came to an end at Stamford Bridge. The club, which boasts of Senegal's forward Sadio Mane and Egyptian international Mo Salah, only lost one game on their way to winning the title. Jurgen Klopp is Liverpool's manager.
I have no words. It's unbelievable. It's much more than I ever thought what would be possible. Becoming chairman with this club is absolutely incredible.
Liberian international soccer player Anthony Snoti Lafour, who plays for Mamelodi Sundowns in South Africa, says he has no desire to enter into politics after his professional career. He describes President George Weah as a father figure to him. Lafour tells my colleague James Butty he's enjoying playing in South Africa.
South Africa is a beautiful country. I've been here almost 13 years. I won 6 league titles already. I won the African Champions League. I play in the FIFA Club World Cup. I won the Super Cup. And I won 2 other domestic trophies in South Africa. So South Africa has been very great. And I think I'm playing for one of the best teams in Africa, Mamelodi Sundowns. So yeah, I think I'm enjoying myself in South Africa.
Is soccer back in South Africa? Are you all playing now?
No, soccer is not back in South Africa yet for the past 3 months because of this whole pandemic. But what we've been doing, we've been training on Zoom. As I'm speaking to you now, yesterday, the Minister of Sport, he came out. They want us to reopen our training and other things like that. So these are some of the things that they are talking about now.
Now to Nigeria, where the West African country is planning to transform sports from mere entertainment to business. Nigeria's Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Sunday Dare, said that plans were already in place to explore all appropriate avenues to transform the classification of sports in the country from mere recreation to a profitable economic activity.
We're close to delivering the first ever national sports industry policy. That is a policy that has a business model around sports that can create jobs for the mass of our youth, that can put value on our athletes from this country.
I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of our African Beat show. The head coach of a top Nigerian professional football club says home-based players can do well if given the opportunity in the national team. Benga Ogunbote leads Lobi Stars, a football club based in Makurdi, the capital of Nigeria's Benue State. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Ogunbote said home-based players have the talent to represent the Super Eagles proudly.
As a coach with an NPFL club, my assessment of home-based players, I know, and I call them domestic league professionals. I think we have what it takes to compete anywhere. And if you want me to talk about them, I'll continue to say good things. They have all it takes to play against any solid side.
Do you think that home-based players invited to the national team can win shirts and play for the Super Eagles?
Are the domestic professionals invited to the national team? We surely win shirts and they'll play very well for our Super Eagles. Of course, they are Nigerians, and all we need is let them be given equal opportunities. If there is level playing ground, I'm very convinced within myself that we have quite a number of domestic professionals that are going to win shirt and they will play for the country.
What's your assessment of the Nigeria Professional Football League? Any suggestions for improvement?
My assessment of the NPFL as an entity, I can say it's still an organization in the making. But one thing that is certain, year in, year out, there is a lot of improvement. If you compare this concluded season with last season, you'll see that we have a lot of improvement in this season. And for suggestions, things that I think we still need to do is at all costs, as a matter of must, we must ensure that our games are shown on televisions. Some are to be shown live and some are delayed. It will bring a lot of sanity and improvement into the league.
That's Benga Ogunbote, the head coach of Nigeria's Lobi Stars Football Club. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Makurdi, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
VOA's Gwen Uden joins us now with a report on Australia and New Zealand winning the hosting rights to the 2023 Women's World Cup football tournament. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Some welcome news for women's soccer. On Thursday, the FIFA Council announced Australia and New Zealand have won their bid to host the Women's World Cup tournament in 2023. Council members voted 22-13 in favor of the joint bid over rival Colombia. FIFA President Gianni Infantino announced the results from Switzerland in a public address on FIFA TV, and he said the new appointment continues the progress of women's football following the global success of last year's Women's World Cup in France. Infantino also pledged to award $1 billion over the next 4 years towards the advancement of women's soccer, and he revealed Australia and New Zealand will host an expanded upcoming tournament.
We experienced these days last year in France, a fantastic Women's World Cup, the best Women's World Cup ever, which broke all the records, more than 1 million spectators in the stadiums, 1 billion all over the globe, and it has brought women's football to a truly global stage. We want to continue with that and in that path, and for this, the FIFA Council has already decided that as of 2023, as of the World Cup 2023, there will be 32 national teams participating instead of 24. So it will become even more global and having a much bigger positive impact on the development of women's football. For this bidding process, which was highly competitive, there were two bidders at the end, Australia, New Zealand, and Colombia. I would like to thank both of them for their remarkable work It was really, really well prepared. Congratulations to both of them.
The joint victory marks the first time a Women's World Cup will be hosted by more than one country. The unified bid, which the two countries have dubbed as one, was installed as a strong favorite to host the 2023 tournament. Just hours before the vote, Australia's Sydney Opera House was lit up in unity colors, blue, green, and gold, in anticipation of the Women's World Cup coming to the region for the first time. After hearing the news of her country's successful campaign, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian no doubt expressed the mood of the entire nation.
I want to really say that Australia and New Zealand will turn it on for the rest of the world, and hopefully by 2023 the pandemic will be behind us well and truly, and the world will have its eyes focused here on Australia and New Zealand, and I couldn't be happier.
And New Zealand football CEO Andrew Pragnell emphasized that hosting the tournament will give a boost to women's soccer in the Asian and Oceania confederations.
We knew that, that it was a tournament of firsts. We knew that by bringing Oceania and Asia together, we were going to do something that had never been done before and could leave a real legacy. So we thought we had a compelling bid. Both countries have good positive reputations within FIFA. And so we, relied on that. And fortunately, it came true.
Ahead of the vote, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his New Zealand counterpart Jacinda Ardern wrote an open letter to FIFA that promised the two countries would host a tournament to be proud of. The opening ceremony of the 9th Women's World Cup tournament is scheduled to take place at Auckland's Eden Park on July 10th, 2023. The final match will be played in Sydney Stadium, Australia, 1 month later. And that is all from me for today and for the week. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
My name is Jean Seninde with Queen's Park Rangers Women and the Uganda National Team. Listen to Sunnyside of Sport with Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Dan Friedel spoke recently with Mame Biney, a short track speed skater who was born in Ghana and competes internationally for the United States. The 20-year-old Biney competed in her first Winter Olympics 2 years ago in South Korea, and she says she's very excited about racing again at the 2022 Winter Olympics in China. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to the final part of Dan's conversation with Mame. Here's Dan.
What about being an African athlete? You've spent the majority of your life at this point living in the United States. But as you mentioned, the short track speed skating in particular is heavily influenced by Asian athletes. You know, the best athletes in the world have been from the Asian countries. And certainly you stand out because of the color of your skin and your effusive personality, and you seem like such a maybe different kind of person than you might encounter in speed skating, especially since it's dominated by Asians who can tend to be a little bit more reserved. And what is it like for you? You know, you obviously stand out. Is it something that adds a little more pressure to your experience as a speed skater?
Honestly, I don't think so, because even though I started, so Dominion was like the majority of Asians were on the team, and the coach was also Korean. So I know I've been surrounded by Koreans and like their culture almost all of my life. So I feel like maybe I'm just like not really like in tune with it, but, or maybe I just am surrounded by really, really awesome people who like don't really care about like my skin color. But I just felt like I was super, super like accepted into my team and the Dominion culture and stuff. But when I go into like World Cups and stuff like that, like my first time I went to World Cups, I definitely got looked like, whoa, there's an African American on the U.S. team. Like, that's never really been seen before. But I don't know. I just feel some sort of like empowerment, I guess, in a way, because it's like, yeah, like there's someone that is different, but also like who looks physically strong. So like, watch out. I'm good with it. I don't really mind. Probably because I don't really like notice it, but like I'm oblivious.
Yeah, that sounds well. That's a good perspective for sure. I can imagine that you've probably gotten comfortable with being a little bit different mm-hmm. in your sport. I wanted to ask your experience living in the United States after spending the first 5 years of your life living in Ghana. What has it been like to be an African immigrant in the U.S.? What are some of the experiences that you've had? And you know, what would you say to somebody who's listening to the show right now, who's living in Africa, thinking about someday coming to the United States and how you adjusted?
Yeah. So I'll be fairly honest and say, like, I honestly don't remember my 5 years of living in Ghana. And I also think, like, I was a little guarded or, like, shielded with my dad because he, like, was very, very protective of me when I was younger. But the way that I adjusted was just to surround myself with people who I was comfortable with, because I feel like I have, like, a pretty good perspective of people or, like, judgment of people. I'm not a very judgmental, but, like, I feel like as soon as I see someone and I'm like, oh, like, I don't really think, like, we would vibe very much, I kind of, like, stay away. But, like, for people who I'm very comfortable with and, like, my type of people, like they're very accepting and understanding of my culture and, like, my differences. So I think, like, what advice that I would give to someone who is thinking about coming here or immigrating to the U.S. or any other country would be just to, like, surround yourself with people that understand where you're coming from, because the Korean culture for Dominion and stuff like that, like their parents were also immigrants, so like they also understood where my dad was coming from. Like most of them were born in America, but like they, like the parents understood what was going on, so like we were all like very tightly knit, yeah, like together and all that fun stuff. So like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, like just surround yourself with people who understand where you're coming from, because obviously if like you don't understand, then it's like even harder to figure out how to like be with someone. But oh man, this doesn't make any sense, I'm so sorry.
Okay. I think I understand. I understand your point. I think that sounds completely reasonable. You know, find good people and surround yourself with them, and make the best effort that you can to get involved in the society that you've joined.
Right.
So we're joined on the Sunny Side of Sports by Mame Bainey. She was just telling us about her experience growing up in the United States for the last 15 years after coming to the U.S. as a five-year-old from Ghana. Mame, I'll let you go with this. I just was curious to get a sense from you about whether you think that your progress in your sport is going to be affected at all by the pandemic. You're kind of halfway through the four-year period between Winter Olympics. Things are, you know, shut down. Things are delayed. You don't have access to some of the training that you might have had access to at this point. But is it something that you'll think you'll be able to recover from and get up to full speed by the time it's time for the Olympic trials? And I guess it would be about a year and a half.
Yeah, oh man, I just think that's insane how it was only 2 years ago that the Olympics were in Korea. But I really, really hope that we are able to like get back on track before December of 2021. But honestly, I don't really know. I can't like say for sure like, oh yeah, we're totally going to be on track like for 2021 and 2022. It's going to be tough. Yeah, I think if like everyone just like stays calm and like, I understand that there's like a lot of people out there who aren't as fortunate as I am. But I just think like if everyone just like stays calm and like does their part and social distance, then we'll all get back to our lives as quickly as possible. But there's some people out there who don't do that. So I don't know. I hope we do, but who knows? Yeah.
But hopefully everybody can be resilient and smart and stay healthy and we can get back to what we're used to as soon as possible. Well, Mame Bainey, thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports. It was really great to get a chance to talk with you.
Yay! Thank you so much, Dan. It was amazing talking to you. Aw.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Atlanta Hawks guard Vince Carter, who officially announced his retirement from professional basketball after an NBA record 22 seasons. In his prime, the 43-year-old Carter was one of the game's top players, and he will go down as one of the greatest dunkers in basketball history. Vince's high-flying moves to the basket earned him nicknames like Vinsanity, Half Man, Half Amazing, and Air Canada. Carter got his Air Canada moniker during his time with the Toronto Raptors, and he's credited with putting Toronto on the basketball map. In addition to his long NBA career, Vince Carter helped Team USA win a gold medal in men's basketball at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. And that wraps up the June 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.